This morning, I actually put the title of our message, the title that Pastor Brian's been using all year for Luke. Jesus changes everything, but I actually would think it would be good if you would write a subtitle down, which is what I would have actually preferred. And the subtitle would be this, is, did I make a mistake? Did I make a mistake? Have you ever had a time when you sought the Lord and about an important decision that was before you? You felt God had opened that door, so you acted upon it only to discover that things did not turn out as you believed they would. And you wonder, how could that be if the Lord was leading me in that direction? You thought you were doing the right thing, but then it's like everything falls apart. All of a sudden you find yourself surrounded with challenges, with trials, with trouble, with things that you and I maybe never have expected. So did I make a mistake? Did I not hear God correctly? And if I did hear God correctly, how could I be facing all of these things that are happening? Things I never even imagined that could have gone wrong. What do you do when you think that you've blown it? And yet you aren't quite sure that you did, because you still feel fairly certain in your heart that God did lead you in this direction. You prayed about a new job because your old boss was a jerk. So you take a new job, unemployment opens up to you, one that you landed in your lap practically, only to find out that your new boss is three times the jerk that your old one was. Bought a new house. Know people who've done that. Only to discover that the foundation has cracks in it. So now your dream home becomes a nightmare. But I thought God led me to that home. You move to a new city after much prayer, hoping for a new start. But the promised job never materialized. And if that weren't bad enough, the people didn't even want you there. I have some friends that happened to. They were certain God had called them to move from California to Pennsylvania. They were certain of it. In my heart, as they talked with me, I didn't feel it was right. And I contemplated whether I should say anything, because I thought, well, maybe that's just my own selfish reasons that I didn't want people that I love to move away. But they went. And the job that they were promised never materialized, and even family members did not want them there. And they lost everything. And yet they were certain that they heard God. Maybe I heard God wrong about me ever pastoring, or maybe one of you thought that God had called you to the missionary field or some other kind of ministry, only to find unfathomable things began to open up for you that you never expected. And so you begin to question, did I hear God correctly? There was a man traveling with his wife a long distance a number of years ago. He'd mapped it out. He knew what he was doing, he knew where he was going, and he felt certain he knew how to get there. They come to an intersection, but he goes straight. And his wife says, I think you needed to turn this way. And he said, no, I know what I'm doing, I know where I'm going, I planned this out, don't worry about anything, just relax. Several hundred miles later, his wife brings it up again. He says, I'm really pretty sure that you should have turned like 300 miles back there. And once again, he assured his wife that he knew what he was doing. So instead of ending up in Texas, he ended up in Nebraska. He sincerely believed he was right, but he was sincerely wrong. There was a pastor's wife, a number of years ago too. She was pregnant. She began to tell everybody, this is the pastor's wife, she began to tell everybody, God told me I'm going to have a boy. And she proclaimed this for months, I'm going to have a boy, even have a name for him, my husband and I. Had a baby shower. Everybody brought items for a boy. 3 weeks later, she had a baby. What do you think she had? She had a girl. Now, if that weren't bad enough, she felt embarrassed and humiliated. And the biggest concern was, if I didn't hear God right in this, how is anybody ever going to trust me to hear God right in the future, especially if I'm ministering to them? You can sincerely believe you are right, but you can be sincerely wrong. Isn't that comforting news? Wasn't comforting to me when somebody told me that. It's like, go give your advice elsewhere. If you aren't going to tell me what I want to hear, I don't want to hear it. You could sincerely believe you heard from God, and sometimes you can be sincerely wrong. But what do you do then? And by the way, you're not always hearing God wrong. It's always easy to look back and criticize yourself for decisions that you've made when they don't work out the way that you believed that they would have. We've all done our share of second guessing, and I'll tell you what, I'm really good at that myself. I second guess myself all the time, and I hate it. All the time. Comes from insecurities. Still, we're human, and it's natural and normal for us to do that sometimes, to second guess ourselves. Really, to me, the big question that comes out of all of this, when we thought for sure we heard from God, only to discover that we think that we have made a mistake and didn't hear him right after all, is how can I trust God with my future if I think that my past decisions were wrong? Or when you question if you ever even heard God right to begin with, and even more importantly to me, the thing that nagged me for I don't even know how long was, if I didn't hear God right then, what makes me so sure I'm ever going to hear God right? I questioned myself. How could I know? There was a number of years ago, I worked for Boeing aerospace industry up in the Seattle area. I'd been there a couple of years, and Boeing, some of you may know, has a union, a big union there. Jobs in the union almost never become available, extremely rare. The only time an opening would ever come up is if somebody was actually retiring from old age or someone died. It would take something like that for a position to ever open up. But I've been at Boeing a couple years, and I don't even remember how I found out, but there was an opening that came up in the union, and I applied for it. And I was accepted. Unheard of. In fact, my supervisors who'd been there 20 plus years said they'd been trying for 20 years to get in and could never get in, and how is it that it happened for me? I don't know. But it was a great job with great pay, with great benefits, with a lifetime security practically, unless you utterly blew it, and I was ecstatic. So the union says, you're in. President interviewed me, you're in. Give your notice to Boeing, because you won't be working directly for Boeing anymore. You're going to work for the union. I gave my 2-week notice. The day that I was to start my job, the door slammed in my face. There was no opening. The only excuse I was ever told was that the person who was retiring changed their mind. Don't know if that's true or not. Didn't matter to me. The door had been slammed in my face, and I was devastated. And I'd already given notice to Boeing, my other job. I didn't realize at the time that sometimes the enemy can open the door for us as well and lead us in a direction that we think is right. But when those times come, and you're on the brink of something, and God slams that door, it's because there is something grander on the other side that he has for you, maybe even your dreams, to be fulfilled, because that was the case for mine. If I had taken that job in the union, I would never have realized, for reasons I'm not going to go into now, I would never have realized my dream of being a pastor and pastoring churches. I would have never known it. I would have been in that job for the union the rest of my life. Shortly after that, I'd gone back into Boeing for a couple years. They got me my job back in there. And then I got laid off, which is common in the aerospace industry. Had just about enough of that with Boeing. So I got laid off, was gone 5 years. And in that time, I had moved several times. And even though they encouraged you to leave a forwarding address, I never gave one to them. They never knew where I was. Moved to Oregon. Was on staff as a secretary, church secretary then, and began to work part-time in a restaurant to make a living. Early in the morning, must have been around 7:30 when I was in the restaurant getting ready to open it, there's a phone call that comes in. Somebody walks up to me and says, the phone is for you. Before I took the phone call, I was remembering the night before. I was in one of the lowest places in my life. I was in deep depression. And I remember my friends who pastor a Foursquare church in Seattle some 40 years now telling me that they felt it was time for me to come back to Seattle, Washington. But there was nothing left of me. I felt hopeless. The depression was so great. I had no energy to do anything. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't care about anything at that time. And we're talking about a number of years ago. And I remember telling them, if God wants me to go back there, he's going to have to drop a job in my lap. He's going to have to make a home available for me. And he's going to have to do it within 48 hours. And so they prayed at midnight on the phone with me, Lord, we really believe you've called Ann to come back to us in Seattle. And if this is of you, we're asking that you make the way for Anna to come. Next morning, I'm at the restaurant. Phone call comes in. Somebody says, it's for you, Anna. I answer the phone. Some voice, female voice on the other end says, this is human resources from Boeing. We've been looking for you for 3 years. We want you to come back and work for us. And I didn't know why they would look for me for 3 years, because the job that I did there was completely unskilled. All I did was move airplane parts from mechanic to mechanic. Anybody could have done it. Why would they be looking for me for 3 years? They said, we have been searching everywhere for you. We don't know how we found you, but somebody gave us this phone number to call. Would you please come back and see us tomorrow and come in for an interview again at Human Resources, because we really want to hire you back. Drove up to Washington, went on the interview, looked for a house that afternoon, closed escrow the next day, was all done within 48 hours. Wow. To this day, I don't know how that happened. I know it was God, but that was the weirdest thing I ever went through. I mean, it was like, wow. But you know what? I went back to Boeing, had a house. And it wasn't long after that that the doors for ministry and pastoring began to open for me. Sometimes the enemy will open a door for you in order to mislead you, and it can look right on the surface. As scripture says, we can walk in that way that seems like, what does that say? Don't, in your own understanding, or that seems right to you. But in the end can lie trouble. That's tragically paraphrased the way I just said it. But there are also times when we are obeying God and we take that step of faith and we run smack dab into trials, into trouble. We are human. And all too often it becomes easy to make decisions based on our flesh and even more so our emotions, especially us women are good at that. That never happens to me. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. But at some point, if we've blown it, and that's an if, you have to move on. Going over it and over it, not sleeping at nights, doubting yourself all the time, second-guessing every move you ever made, doesn't do any good. But I'll tell you what, to me, that's easier said than done. So there's some things I would like for you to consider. When we step out in faith with what we believe is God's directing, I want to give you 5 points, and I want to tell you every single one of them are really important. How do you know if you're hearing God correctly? And what happens if you didn't hear him right and you actually made a mistake? First thing I want to point out to you is that an unexpected crisis does not mean that your decision was a mistake. The disciples obeyed Jesus. Jesus told them to get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. They get halfway across the lake and they run right into the midst of a deadly storm. But had they not obeyed Jesus and had they not done that, they would have never seen the Son of God as he was, someone who was able to still the storms, calm the waters, and see him for who he really was, God. Israel was told to cross over into the promised land. But as soon as they did, what did they run into? Giants. If this is God, why are there still enemy? There's still giants in the land. Do you know that sometimes God will lead you in a direction because there are giants in your life that he wants to deal with that cannot be overcome any other way? Because to not do that, to not obey, to not follow the direction God is leading you in, is to leave those giants and those strongholds in your life. Yeah. Loved one, I am so passionate about that because I know about giants. I know about strongholds. I know about addictions. I know about rejection and shame and guilt. I know about all of those things, and so do many of you. And God doesn't want to leave you like that. So sometimes he will lead you in a direction and you will run into these giants because it's the time that he wants you to deal with them so that you can grow and move on and be all that he has purposed you to be. Amen. Sometimes it is the giants in our lives that look to devour us, to destroy us. And the enemy will do everything that he can to let those strongholds remain. Second thing I want to point out is this. Too much introspection about the past makes us insecure and uncertain about the future. Write this down. Write it down. Too many autopsies and you're going to kill yourself. Too many autopsies on yourself, you're going to kill yourself. You go over it and over it as to what you did wrong, and then you just end up feeling like a failure. And the enemy will take that and use it to try to paralyze you to ever keep from moving forward again. And fear will do that. Failures and mistakes can do that. And the enemy would like nothing more for you to believe that you will never change. Things are never going to get better. Failures and mistakes can keep us from ever taking steps of faith again. Too many people are bound by yesterday. They're shackled by their past mistakes and poor choices, and we've all made them. If you've never gone through that, you can minister to me, because I know I've done it all too often. You should always learn from yesterday, but you don't want to live in it. Allow God to show you a bright tomorrow that he has for you on the horizon. When you give yourself entirely to him, because that's what it takes. Third point I want to make. When seeking God's direction, include talking with a mature believer for confirmation. I love this, Proverbs 11:14, the way the Message reads it. Without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Or another translation says, there is safety there. That's something worth meditating on. It is best not to make big decisions without consulting a few wise believers, mature believers, and successful people who are not emotionally or personally or financially involved, because they can apply their wisdom to you. They can apply their experience to your situation without the distracting and distorting influences that can corrupt your thoughts and my thoughts. Every one of us has made a bad decision at some time or another. That is a fact of human behavior. And by the way, it would be wrong for many reasons, even though we may not realize it, to go to friends sometimes and ask their advice, because oftentimes they will tell you what you want to hear and they don't want to get into a debate. They don't want to lose your friendship. It's also wise not to consult too many people, because that just becomes confusing. And sometimes our motive is that we're looking to hear what we want to hear. You and I, when making a decision, could be wrong for many reasons. Even though we may not realize it, we can be ignorant. I am at times. We are emotionally affected, and that's very true. We are personally biased, educationally distorted, financially motivated, and peer influenced. This is why, my friend, it's really good when you feel that you are facing something major, an important decision that can be life-changing, that you're not only seeking God and praying God, and that it absolutely lines up with God's word, but that you take the time to counsel with a couple of people who you trust and you know are mature. Because God says there's safety there, and you have a greater possibility of success. Not every counselor will do. Just check your decisions and your ideas with the appropriate people. Point four I want to make is let go of the past, or I can guarantee you it will keep you a prisoner from your future. Absolutely. You are never going to know the grand things that God has for you as long as you continually live in yesterday and you dwell on your mistakes, especially if you feel you've blown it or you didn't hear God right. Your past can keep you a prisoner from your future. Philippians 3:14 says, but one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That word straining means it is going to take work to do this. It isn't going to come easy. Leaving the past behind is a chore. You're going to deal with the enemy and you're going to deal with the flesh because those two things want to make you believe that nothing good is ever going to happen and you're never going to change. And so it takes straining. It takes work, ongoing work, making choices and decisions that will get you out of the very prisoner that will keep you from your future. There was I don't know if this relates or not. You decide. You might have even heard this before. There was a dog once that was kept in a 6x8 cage for years. I don't even think it was ever let out. Somewhere in its mid-age life, somebody found out the situation of this dog and was able to adopt it, to take it. And so they opened the cage door, and what do you think that dog did? Stayed in the cage, and all it did was walk in circles. It took months for that dog to recognize that it was free. Months. And you and I, if we live in yesterday, those patterns that have been established in our life over a period of years, we keep walking in the same rut without realizing that Jesus has opened that door for you to walk out and to be free. So you don't let your mistakes, you don't let your failures keep you in the past if you think that you didn't hear correctly. But remember what I said, that just because you run into a crisis or trouble doesn't mean that it isn't God's leading. And you have to remember that too. The great news, however, is that your future is determined by how you act in the present moment. In other words, your past does not have to define you or your future. Basically, I just said that. It doesn't have to. And it's very sad that many believers, their whole identity is their past. That's all they live in. It's all they talk about. And the last point I want to make is, as I conclude, is God won't waste your mistakes. He will make it work for your good. And it's true. If you blew it, you thought you heard God right, and it wasn't the right thing to do, you misheard, or the enemy opened the door and God slammed it, things didn't work out, God will use every single bit of that for your good. It will never go to waste. Amen. The only way that can happen is if you make a decision to live in yesterday or to live in rejection or to live in failure. Then you don't know this entire new land, new territory that God desires for you to walk in. Romans 8:28, many of you know it well. And we know that for God, or for those who love God, all things, can you say that, all things with me?
All things.
Say that again.
All things.
Not some things, not a few things, not once in a while, all things. That includes our mistakes. God will work all things together for your good. for those who are called to his purpose, for those who love God and walk with him and seek to follow him. That promise is not just for anybody. It's for those who love the Lord and want him to be their Lord and want to follow him and want to serve him. God says, you can bet on the fact that every bad thing that ever happens to you, every mistake you made, is only going to make you stronger. It's only going to make you more like Jesus, and it's only going to prepare you for greater things ahead. That's his promise, and that's a pretty great promise. As I said, I want to conclude by saying that this is what I think are the laws of spiritual progress. That's not on your notes, but you can write them down if you want. The laws of spiritual progress. I can't go back. And you should think about that. I can't go back. Because God's not back there. He's leading you forward. I can't go back. Neither can I stay here. Can't stay here. I must go what? Forward. I must go forward. Because that's where God is. That's where he's calling you to. And he says, don't worry. If you make a mistake, I'll fix it. I know it might hurt and trouble you, but I'll fix it. And sometimes we make the mistake that when we hear God's voice, we feel like he's given us a picture, he's given us a direction. We tend to take that and put a frame around it and make it look like this when God says, it doesn't look anything like what you think. It's far, 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 far more grander than this. And unless we step out in faith and obey him, even though we might be frightened at times, even though we don't know if we're going to run into giants, the Lord says, you move. You don't stay there. You move. Because I have a plan and a purpose for your life. And these issues in your life that are strongholds, that are giants, we're going to deal with those things on the way because I don't want them to hinder you from the purposes that I have. You can't go back to the past to undo the mistakes you made. But you can't stay where you are either. Life is a river that flows onward, forward. We can't change the past, but I'll tell you something, even if we could, we can't always be sure that we would have improved things or that we would have made a decision that was even better. We don't know that. We don't know that. So what good does it do, friend, to go back over this over and over again? Because like I said, you're just performing autopsies on yourself and you're going to kill yourself. We can trust the Lord and leave the results in his hands. And once you've surrendered your life to Christ, God will take those negative circumstances of your life and he will work everything out so that he is glorified and you gain a new sense of peace and hope. Maybe there's some of you here that you made a mistake and you're still living in it. You've blown it and you're still hurting over it. You still question God. I thought you said this. How can I ever trust you, or how can I ever trust myself again that I'm going to hear you correctly? It's better to just not do anything. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. There will be times when you will sincerely believe you're right, but sincerely be wrong. But God's promise is, don't you let that stop you. Because I'm going to work something really good out of that when that happens. You're going to be amazed, he says. You will be amazed. Some of you may have never come to the point where you've known Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And all these promises that I talked about begins with that. That you recognize that, like me, you are a sinner and that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins and my sins. He went to the cross when you and I deserved to go. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed. Maybe there are some of you here that you've never made that decision. You know that your life is a mess. You don't want to live like that anymore. You want somebody that has the ability to turn your life in a promising direction. And his name is Jesus. Jesus says it's important, extremely important, that you would acknowledge him before man. And if you do that, he will acknowledge you before God. But if you don't do that, Jesus won't acknowledge you before God. With every head bowed this morning, maybe you'd like to make that decision this morning. I hope so. That you say, Jesus, you would acknowledge, I am a sinner, Lord, and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you rose from the dead and that you have the gift of eternal life for me, and I want all of that, Lord. And if you're with somebody here this morning that has never made that decision, and this morning you want to, with every head bowed, please, would you just lift your hand so I can be the one to acknowledge that with you? Is there anybody here? I agree with you. God bless you. I agree with you, young man. God bless you. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Amazing things God has in store for you. Is there anybody else? God bless you. Church, would you just pray this prayer with me for those who received the Lord for the first time this morning? Lord, I thank you for your word. And I come to you this morning asking that your word becomes life to me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart this morning. I believe you are the Son of God and that you rose from the dead, that you paid the price for me. I want that gift of eternal life with you, Lord. And I thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.